Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. We survived Monday. Whether it was manic or marvelous, Mondays always seem to be a load to get through coming off the weekend. Sometimes they hit like a ton of bricks, or sometimes we run into that brick wall. Either way, there is never a dull Monday in sports, so that keeps it interesting. Thanks for hanging out with us here on CBS Sports Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. We're going to jam as much as we possibly can into this hour. Still want to give you the latest from Toronto, where the Yankees and the Blue Jays went into extra innings, and Aaron Judge had an at-bat in the extra inning. Also, pretty impressive pitching performance for a rookie for the Atlanta Braves, as they're still trying to track down the New York Mets atop the NL East. In football, of course, week three is done and over with. Speaking of New York, the Giants no longer among the ranks of the undefeated, and the Cowboys are now at 2-1. And considering the number of people who buried them after the opener when Dak Prescott got hurt, I would like to remind you again, when you think you know, you don't know.
Don't be stupid.
You don't know Jack. We don't know Jack. I'll put myself in that category. Football almost never makes sense from week to week, and especially not in the first month of the season. When you make predictions, the NFL laughs in your face. And it's more fun that way, let's be honest. If we knew it was going to happen all the time and we were right with our predictions all the time, there would be no drama. It wouldn't be any fun. It certainly wouldn't be as entertaining. So we'll get to Monday Night Football from MetLife Stadium. And some other football news as well, as the Buccaneers are moving out of Tampa. Tampa, St. Pete Metro, directly in the line of Hurricane Ian. Right now, a Category 2 expected to strengthen once it comes across the western half of Cuba and gets into the Gulf of Mexico with the warm waters. I'm such a weather nerd, especially a severe weather nerd. So for a second there, lapsing into my severe weather information. But it is a scary situation for a lot of people. I'm not sure if you know this. If you're in the Tampa area, well, you definitely know it. Tampa has not been hit by a major hurricane in over 100 years. This is not something that Tampa, this part of Florida, the west coast of Florida, has to deal with on a regular basis. So it's good to hear that Miami is not in the direct path of the storm. That's where the Buccaneers are headed. But there are a lot of people who are trying to evacuate, or if they're not going to evacuate, if they're in that same area, that same region, trying to make sure they have the supplies and their homes are as prepared as they can be. We just are finding out that Ian's been upgraded to a Category 3. So again, strengthening could start to impact the Tampa area with storm surge and with winds as early as this afternoon. Though the worst of it, according to forecasters, won't actually be until Thursday. So that's a lot of time. State of emergency declared for the state of Florida. And we have a lot of listeners. There are a lot of people in the path of this storm. So thinking of you, and Please, please, please take every precaution to keep you and your family safe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So we're going to get to all of that. Monday, a tough day for several NBA teams as they reported to Media Day and the start of their training camps. And no, I'm not referring to the Brooklyn Nets, who have both Kyrie and KD back in the fold. Thinking about the Phoenix Suns and also the Boston Celtics, who've been thrust into the spotlight through no choice of their own and in situations that have little to do with basketball. So Chris Paul not only is one of the highest ranking members of the NBA, the Players Association, he's been in the league for a long time. He's a household name, and he's been key in the Suns becoming a contender in the last several years. So it's fitting that he would be one who would answer questions about the owner, Robert Sarver, who right now is serving a year-long suspension, but has indicated that he will start to make plans to sell both the Suns and the Phoenix Mercury.
Basketball is our happy place. You know, that's the one place that we absolutely get a chance to be, and there's no phones, there's no TVs, there's no nothing, right? Like, you ought to see when we have our pickup games, it's like the freest moment, you know, because you get a chance to hoop. You know, that's what everybody's here for at the end of the day, is that we get a chance to play the game of basketball. But we're humans too. You know, we're people just like everybody else, and we need, somebody to talk to. We need some type of peace, and we need, you know, not for our phones to be going off all the time. So it's cool to get in the locker room with guys and get on the court and just be.
So Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns having to answer questions about an owner that was accused of using the N-word and about an owner who created, for some people, a toxic workplace culture and workplace environment. And there was a groundswell in the NBA for the league to force him to sell his team. It isn't coming to that. He's going to do it somewhat voluntarily. But that's what the Suns were talking about when they met the media on Monday. And in Boston, the Celtics answering questions for the first time about their head coach, former head coach, I guess still technically their head coach, but for how long? Ime Udoka, also suspended for an entire season. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, all trying to make sense of what they've heard, though admittedly, that's not a lot.
Something that we got to address as a group, which we've started that process of doing. Like you said, not a lot of information is being shared, you know. So it's a lot of confusion going around, a lot of speculation going around, which makes it difficult on the guys that's been here and the guys that are here now. But I guess what we do is do our jobs.
It's a lot to process, you know, unexpected. Especially, right, coming into this season and you feel a certain way that, you know, coming off last year that you're excited and trying to do all these things, you know, and just a lot, if I'm being honest. What I'm looking forward to most is just playing basketball, right? You know, it's been a lot of talking and things like that. And, you know, tomorrow we just get to play basketball, we get to practice. So, you know, I'm looking forward for that to start.
It's been hell for us, you know, just caught off surprise. Nobody really knows anything, so we're just in the wind just like everybody else. So these last couple of days, as far as this has been confusing.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, the trio of veterans and leaders who will have to move the team forward. And you hear Jason say the same thing as Chris Paul did. Basketball, it's a haven. This is what we do best. This is where we can find some relief. Had a chance to catch up with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, who was there for Celtics Media Day on Monday. I want to bring back a portion of that conversation. We'll pick it up where I asked him about what he heard from the players, how they found out, what the reaction has been, and how they do move forward.
A lot of them found out, as we did, through Twitter or through social media.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, they found out about the initial thing, and then they had a meeting on Thursday with management to kind of let them know what was going on. Besides, you know, the fact that Udoka had a relationship, a consensual relationship with someone else in the organization, they don't know much else. So they're asking, well, why would this cause a year suspension? So some of the details from the investigation that was found out, but obviously management and ownership knows, the players really don't know. And that's what kind of came away with from the media day, was just the overall confusion from the players as to, like, what's going on here? Okay, you know, coach was, had a relationship with someone in the organization. What else? What happened? And, you know, are those details just private? Can they not learn those things? It sounds like they want to know a little bit more before they can make a determination of how to feel about it. I think people were looking for them to condemn their coach and to say that he was wrong and he messed up. And I think a lot of players are like, before I say that, I want to know exactly what he did wrong. I mean, Marcus Smart said, you know, they still love him as a coach and he turned things around. But, you know, that was kind of the most supportive statements made. But it seemed like the players were like, we don't really know what to think of this. It sounds like it would behoove the organization to have some type of meeting with the players and offer some more clarity about it so they know how to feel. You know, it's hard to, you know, be angry or upset or resent someone or, you know, think less of someone when you don't quite know what they did. And I think that's the situation we have here.
Has anybody spoken to Ime?
No, the only person who said he spoke with him was the new interim coach, Joe Mazzulla, but it sounds like he has not spoken to the players since this situation has occurred. And I don't know if they've told him not to speak with the players or, but it sounds like the players haven't heard from him. You know, it sounds like they've been left, like a lot of us around the organization who follow the team, trying to figure out what the hell happened. And, you know, that's not a really good and comfortable position you want your players in when they lose a coach. The whole thing is just very ugly, interesting, sad, unfortunate, you know, and a lot of things at this point.
We're spending a few minutes with Gary Washburn, who covers the NBA on a national scale, but was at Celtics Media Day on Monday for the Boston Globe. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Gary, why do you think the organization is keeping all of the details under wraps?
Well, I think that, one, they want to keep themselves out of any type of trouble in terms of a potential lawsuit from any of the parties involved. I think the Celtics want to move on. You know, when something like this happens, people are going to examine the entire organization as a whole, the organizational structure. Is the Boston Celtics organization a safe place to work for women? Is this happening around the organization? Are, you know, people dating their subordinates? Are subordinates being somewhat pressured into relationships? Is this rampant around? Is it a toxic environment? You know, we saw the issues a few years ago, the Dallas Mavericks, where, you know, the team president had, you know, kind of harassed and approached and kind of threatened women, you know, because of his power, and they had to kind of do a house cleaning, you know. But the Celtics feel as if their organization is a safe place to work. They feel like this is a one-off. So they want to move forward with this and kind of divulge as less information as possible to protect all the parties. And, you know, and I guess their approach is kind of trust us. You know, we know what we're doing. We know we made this decision, and we have all the information to as a reason why we made this decision. This is not some, you know, we don't have a axe to grind with Ime Udoka. This is not just about a workplace relationship that was just consensual. This is about a lot more that occurred, although they don't want to divulge the information. So it leaves people to try to seek information.
Yes.
Or listen, or the TMZs and all that, you know, where all this stuff is now coming out. So it's a very uncomfortable position for the organization, uncomfortable position for the players. And at this point, you know, who knows how this is all going to shake out.
You have been in this business for a long time. You've been a writer, a reporter. You've covered the team. And you mentioned TMZ. I even saw some information on ET, ET Online. Because of who Ime Udoka's fiance is, there are going to be other websites and outlets who are interested in her personal life. But from your perspective, is it information that you would put out there, the details, or would you rather someone else come out with it?
I think if you're going to write something about this and you're going to try to, you know, divulge the details of exactly what happened, you better be right. You know, this is not a situation, you know, there's a lot of websites that are going to throw stuff, you know, out there because it's juicy. And it could be 75% right, 50% right. You know, I've read some things that I know that have been reported that are not true. And so you have to be careful in this situation because you're dealing with people's lives here. And I think, you know, Amy, the sad part about this whole situation, okay, is the son, who is now 11 years old.
Right.
Okay. And that's old enough to remember and to digest a lot of what's going on. He is not 3 or 2 or, you know, he's not playing in a playpen with toys, Legos or whatever. This kid is 11. Okay, so he watches TV, reads, might even have a cell phone, whatever. Okay, and he's got to, you know, read this about his father and his mother. I mean, that's the sad part about it. I'm sure he's devastated. I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed and devastated. So I think in this situation where you have NBA coach, you know, of one of the top franchises, an actress who has been in many movies, very much, you know, adored and appreciated by, you know, many members of the public, and it's, you know, well known that you're going to have, you know, all these, you know, websites, and it's going to be stuff that sprinkles out. As a reporter, you just have to, be right about it. If not, you leave it alone. And I said, I've read things that I know personally from other websites that are just untrue, that are being reported, and people are assuming. And that's the dangerous part. That's what got this whole, you know, people in trouble and people in hot water and women threatened in the first place is when Twitter started to research thinking they could find out who it was the woman, and they started posting pictures of female employees for the Celtics, many of whom, all but one, obviously, had nothing to do with it.
Really authentic conversation with Gary Washburn, and there's more to it. Who is Joe Mazzulla, and how much will the Celtics players be expected to move forward in terms of, or push forward in terms of their leadership? And also Jaylen Brown dealing with trade rumors over the offseason. But ultimately, they have to adjust to a new voice, a new coach, a new style. And they've got to be able to somehow wrap their brains around what happened, even though they don't have all the information. So also a post, an article that Gary wrote when this first broke, the news first broke, about the responsibility of the Celtics themselves. And I asked him about them. He says they're responsible for this mess too. So you'll want to get the rest of that conversation on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. Monday Night Football from the NFC East, the Giants hosting the Cowboys. My first chance to watch the Monday Night Mannings. They are special. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The After Hours Podcast.
Two tight ends to the right. Hand off to Barkley. Runs out of an arm tackle. Inside the 20. Barkley cuts left to the 15. He's to the 10. He's to the 5. Touchdown, Giants! Saquon Barkley on a 36-yard run. And the Giants have the lead with 5:31 to go here in the third.
Third and goal from the 1. I formation. Ferguson, the fullback, in front of Elliott. Third and goal from the 1. Handoff, Elliott coming right, pushing, goal line, bangs in, touchdown Elliott.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
After the way the first half unfolded with more punts than field goals, certainly more punts than touchdowns since there were no touchdowns, a 6-3 halftime score. I was thrilled to see back-to-back scoring drives unfold in the third quarter, and Saquon Barkley with a 36-yard touchdown scamper that put the Giants on top initially. That's Bob Papa on Giants radio, followed by the touchdown drive directed by Cooper Kush. I knew I was going to do it, except this time, instead of saying Cooper Kupp, I combine it with Cooper Rush and it comes out Cooper Kush. Or as Zeke Elliott said to us, he's Cooper Clutch. Perfect. So I just kind of smushed
them. Cooper Clutch.
I smushed them all in there. I don't even have the energy to laugh. Sorry, but you can totally laugh at me. Yes, Cooper Kush. It's a combination of Rush and Cup. Well, now that I say it again, it sounds fairly ridiculous. Anyway, back to my point, which is that with Brad Sham on Cowboys radio, Elliott caps that drive. Zeke caps that drive with the Dallas Cowboys first touchdown, and they're tied again at 13. But after that, they were no longer tied. The Giants offense dried up a bit, and CeeDee Lamb had an opportunity to make up for a dropped TD pass in the first half.
First and goal at the Giant 1. Wiping his hands on the white towel off his belt buckle. It's Rush with the shotgun snap. Backpedals and throws to the near side. A one-hand catch in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Lamb! Touchdown, Cowboys! Oh, what a catch! A one-hand grab with his glove hand above his silver helmet in the back corner end zone by the pylon. A one-yard beautiful touchdown throw, and the Cowboys have taken the lead midway through the fourth, 19-13 against the Giants.
A beautiful touchdown pass, Kevin Harlan says. And yes, it certainly was positioned perfectly for CD to stretch to the back left corner of the end zone and haul that puppy in. It did get a tweet from Odell Beckham Jr., by the way. Also, I did see some tweets about how the Giants need to go out and bring Odell home. That's all I'm saying. I saw a few of those. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. 89 yards over 6 minutes for that touchdown drive that ultimately put the Cowboys in front for good. Now they tacked on another field goal, and so they're leading 23-16 when the Giants were able to get yet another kick of their own. That they needed more than that. And so in their final drive, trying to move it down the field, they've got the home crowd behind them. But I kind of feel like, considering the flow of this game, that it was going to be the defense that had the last laugh.
Second and 15. Clock at a minute 17 in the game. Snap to Jones. They stunt. He throws it over the middle. That's intercepted at the 35 by Diggs. And he slides down at the Giant 27, but they're going to call the ball trapped.
I thought he got underneath it. I got his hands underneath. The ball's down low, and Javon Diggs gets his... I thought he got both palms up. What do you think? Did he?
No question. On that last shot, good catch, job by the TV cameras. Exactly what you said. His hands got under the ball.
That is Brad Sham, and shoot, I could see his face in my... Babe Laufenberg. Yes, I'm so glad I came up with that and didn't call him Cooper Cush or something like that. So Trayvon Diggs with the interception, a nifty catch to be able to seal that win for Dallas. And as I say, the defense for the Cowboys, tough and physical and making life miserable for Daniel Jones. And so it would be... certainly appropriate to give Diggs our Defensive Player of the Week. I'm actually going a different direction, though. It's sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Five total sacks of Daniel Jones and another dozen quarterback hits. DeMarcus Lawrence with three sacks all by himself. He was a force to be reckoned with. And for that, Lawrence is our Defensive Player of the Week. Lots of guys who step up. We've seen a bunch of big interceptions this week, actually, in week three to seal games. So you got to love it if you're a member of the defense when you don't have to stand there on the sidelines and hope that your offense comes through. Nah, you took care of it. Signed, sealed, and delivered, baby. And so because of the defense, as well as the efficient quarterback play of Cooper Rush, more in the second half, though, the way they were able to move the ball and balance pass and run, I like what we saw from the Cowboys' offensive line as well. Micah Parsons didn't actually record a sack, but he was all over the field, a major piece of the consternation for Daniel Jones on the offensive line. And he actually says the Cowboys deserve a little more respect than what they're getting.
We've been through a lot of adversity, but like I said, this team's been here before. We've been through injuries. We've been through people stepping up. And, I mean, we just keep answering that bell every time. So that's what it's all about, man. This league is fun. It's competitive. But you never count out the underdog, and I don't think we should ever really be the underdog.
Ever. Tony Pollard with a sweet game, a little bit of a throwback, 13 carries for 105 yards. Saquon Barkley had that nice long touchdown run, also had 81 yards overall. And it's interesting to think about how many rushing yards these two teams combined for. It was well over... it was nearly 400 yards, I guess would be the easy way to say. It was well over 375 or 350, excuse me. But the fact that they only were able to manage the three field goals in the first half was a little bit like pulling teeth or wanting to poke your eye out with a fork, something like that on Monday Night Football. Ultimately, these two teams end up with the same record, and for the Cowboys... maybe not for the Cowboys internally, but externally, the amount of after week one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a sound effect that goes with it. Well, the number of people jumping off the bandwagon so fast they were breaking their legs, and the amount of just furor and frustration and people burying the Cowboys after 1 week. I mean, I think this is, it's amazing for Mike McCarthy, for Cooper Rush. I don't agree that there, well, I don't think Jerry Jones actually wants a quarterback controversy, but I don't think that there's ever going to be one. You don't pay Dak the kind of money that they've paid him to ever put his job in jeopardy. He's not going to lose it to an injury. All that's comical. However, there are other teams in the NFL who are paying attention to Cooper Rush. He won't be the Cowboys backup forever unless he chooses to. At some point, he may have an opportunity to go somewhere else, and I'm happy for him. The Cowboys haven't lost when he started, and it's not just Cooper, obviously, but it's the way the offense has run with him under center, the way that they've played around him. There's not been a big letdown, and so he's different than Dak, absolutely. But you know, the NFL's a quarterback league, and the Cowboys may soon be fielding trade offers if he continues to play like this.
It's Cooper Clutch.
That's Zeke's assessment. What about Mike McCarthy on the win?
Love the division win, the complimentary football that we played today. You know, it's always refreshing, you know, long week. And, you know, you come up here and, you know, you're in a hotel all day. And But I just think our guys did a really good job executing the game plan, staying after it. But yes, I mean, excellent win on the road. But, you know, we have a lot of work to do.
I think you just take it for what it's worth. We didn't do a good enough job, all of us. And you recognize that, you own it, you take responsibility for it, and you move on. You can't let these things linger, just like you can't let a win linger. You have to move on and get ready on the next opponent.
That's Brian Daboll, who, of course, had to answer questions about his quarterback, Daniel Jones. 20 of 37, just under 200 yards, and an interception for Daniel.
He's making progress. You know, it's tough after a loss. You know, nobody did well enough, and we understand that, but I think he's making progress, and he fought, he battled. You know, he made some really good plays out there under some duress.
Some duress, that's putting it kindly. There was definitely a lot of duress. John Feliciano, who's the Giants center, was asked about his quarterback getting hammered.
Not good enough. And we got to come back on a short week and get that corrected.
Offensive linemen, they actually pride themselves on being seen but not heard. And so generally when offensive linemen are answering questions, it's because their quarterback's getting hammered or because there were fumbles because their quarterback was getting hammered. You don't generally want your O-linemen to be talking. I mean, it's kind of a catch-22, right? Because their job is maybe not noticed as much with your average football fan when they're doing it well. But when they're not doing it well, all of a sudden they are in a spotlight and it's white hot. But this really is about the Cowboys' offense and what they've been able to do without Dak Prescott. He was cheering. He was yelling. He was there hovering on the sidelines. And to see Cooper direct a couple of touchdown drives, but specifically the CeeDee Lamb go-ahead score, which, by the way, was the first time CeeDee had scored in 9 games or had a touchdown in 9 games. And it was a little make-good for that drop earlier in the game.
He's CeeDee Lamb. He's going to make plays. I'm sure he wants that one back, but you know, you're going to hang with a guy like that. He's an unbelievable player. I didn't even realize someone told me he caught one hand. I didn't know that. So unbelievable catch. I was just making sure his feet got down. And big time player. Ran a good 4 route on a play. And, you know, that's what he's about.
Cowboys and Giants, both 2-1. And there are only 2 undefeated teams remaining in the National Football League after 3 weeks. That's quite the parody, but there is a lot of parody. The Eagles, though, how about this? Try this on for size. The NFC East has 3 teams above 500, 3-0, 2-1, 2-1. We may not be able to kick around the NFC East this year. Okay, and by we, I mean me, because I generally do describe that division as the soap opera of the NFL. All right, I'll turn my attention to the AFC South instead. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio coming up.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want.
And did we mention it's all free?
Download the Odyssey app today.
Candidates for TD of the week, and boy, was there a lot of attention on one man's rear end on Monday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone. They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center zoning into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. Los Angeles Rams.
Five first downs for the Rams. They're set up at the top of the red zone from the 20. It's a jet sweep. Cooper Kupp's got the edge. 20, 10. Cooper Kupp, speed to burn. Touchdown, LA! Did Cooper Kupp score today? It's Sunday, of course he did. Keep the streak alive.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts back, Hurts looking, Hurts firing. Devontae Smith, touchdown! He caught it in the corner of the end zone. Again, he went skyward.
The Slim Reaper.
How did they get that off? You know what? They don't have a number one and a number two receiver. They have two number ones, Brown and Smith.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Cousins out of the shotgun with no timeouts, trailing 24-21. Takes the snap, straight drop. He's going to fire right. Yes! T.J. Osborne! You're so cold-blooded! Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken a 27-24 lead.
And this place has woken up.
The Indianapolis Colts.
16th play of the drive, 29 seconds left. It is 2nd and 10 to the 12-yard line. Colts down by 4. Ryan backs the pass, looking, fires upfield into the end zone. It is caught! Jelani Woods! Touchdown! INDY! Two touchdowns today for the rookie! And the Colts with 6 more on the board. They lead it 19-17 with 24 seconds to play.
Wow. It's a lot of traffic, a lot of activity, a lot of noise. I do love noise. I love making noise, too. But in this case, we're looking for you to choose the TD of the week as others made noise. Cooper Kupp, first career rushing touchdown. One handoff, one carry, one 20-yard score, of course, because he's Cooper Kupp. J.B. Long on the Rams radio network. Then Merrill Reese on Eagles radio because Devontae Smith was a killer. On Sunday, just ask the Washington Commanders. He had 150-plus yards in the first half alone, plus that touchdown that was acrobatic in the corner of the end zone. Paul Allen on Vikings radio. 45 seconds to go. K.J. Osborne with his touchdown catch of 28 yards. In fact, he had the big catch to set up that touchdown. Kirk Cousins should get a little bit of credit. And then Matt Taylor on Colts radio as Indianapolis stuns Kansas City with the rookie Jelani Woods hauling in his second touchdown catch from Matt Ryan. Only 24 seconds left in that one. So you can vote on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And we'll reveal the choice for TD of the week coming up on The Hump Show. If you paid any attention to NFL coverage on Monday at all, you know that there were actual football analysts and former players breaking down the butt punt. Did you know Sharman also got into the act? Let's just be honest. The NFL started this. The NFL has instigated this. If you guys follow the NFL Twitter, there is a still shot, no joke, of the football stuck to the butt of Trent Sherfield, and Thomas Morstead's foot is, I mean, it can't be more than 6 inches from Sherfield's rear end. The NFL took a still photo. Check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I mean, what is the NFL doing? They're making a mockery.
But you can't beat them.
joke. The NFL puts this Twitter photo out with the caption, "Is this the greatest photo of all time?"
In the history of the league.
I mean, I hope Roger Goodell wrote the caption. That's all I'm saying. Because the man comes across so, like, straight-laced and boring a lot of the time, a total nerd. If Roger Goodell came up with this caption, "Is this the greatest photo of all time?" he would have the most street cred ever. Like, who came up with that? But the still...
It's time to have some fun.
The still photo is magnificent. Anyway, poor Trent Sherfield. I mean, his butt has been examined a million ways to Sunday. All I want to know is what the exit velo was off of Thomas Morstead's foot. That's what I need to know, because he's got to have a bruised rear end. He's got to. That ball had to leave a mark.
I've been looking all show and trying to find the exit velocity on that punt. I can't find it yet. We don't have the numbers.
I don't think we have time for it. We'll save it for the hump show because it'll fit so perfectly. Tom Brady giving his assessment of the butt punt. But if you were watching the Monday Night Manning, so fittingly, they had Pat McAfee, former Colts teammate of Peyton, and also a Pro Bowl punter. They had him on the show to break down the butt punt. It was laugh out loud funny. Jay, I'm sorry, but I actually forgot there was a game going on because I'm so busy.
Oh, that's fine. I did too.
Anyway, Sharman gets into the act and quotes this photo from the NFL. "Those cheeks are going to need something soft. Check your DMs." And then they include Trent Sherfield's Twitter handle.
I've never seen a butt pump before, man.
And in addition, Charbon uses the hashtag butt punt.
That's good marketing. Give that social media guy a raise.
But the NFL started it. Is this the greatest photo of all time? What is wrong with this picture? I mean, the football is essentially affixed to his rear end. Like, it's there. It's halfway up his butt. It really is.
Yeah, it's in there.
I can't. I don't even know what else to say about it intelligently, because there's probably nothing else. But I do appreciate that Trent has been a good sport about it. He was responding to Sharman and going back and forth, and it was cute.
Got endorsements coming his way.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's getting all kinds of analysis. I saw former football players breaking down the video, doing like actual like tape on the butt.
Never mind the last play of the game where, you know, Josh Allen, the Bills, ran out of offense. Nah, we don't care about that. It's all about the butt punt.
No, it's everything's overshadowed by hashtag butt punt. Wait, I want to get a tweet from Sharman. Okay, we're going to end on a serious note. Also, a really cool moment for one Atlanta rookie pitcher.
And this young man's looking for one more out. Now there's a ground ball to second. This could be it. Arcia has it, fires to first, and Bryce Elder goes all the way. It's a shutout for Bryce Elder, and the 23-year-old rookie tosses a complete game, and he keeps the Nationals off the scoreboard, and what a night for Bryce.
Not just a complete game, which is rare anymore, but a scoreless complete game. 106 pitches, only a single walk with 6 hits and 6 strikeouts, and what a moment for, as they call him on Braves radio, this young man.
It means a lot, but at the same time, it's just another win. We're trying to stack the wins on top of each other here and get ready for this weekend and the next 3 games after that.
It's amazing how many guys don't touch that rubber in the ninth. So it was great for him to experience that and know what that feels like.
Brian Snitker and his rookie, Bryce Elder, with a banner moment on Monday night. But there are only 4 games on Monday night, so Mets were not playing, which means the Braves are within 1 game now atop the NL East. And you know, this is the end of September, the final itty bitty. I don't know what I was going to say. Something along those lines. I'm still stuck in... Never mind, I'm not going to say it because that sounded awkward. I'm going to finish this show strong here. We've got a full slate of games coming up on Tuesday because we're into the very end. Why do I make it so complicated? The very end of the stretch run, and you've got races, of course, history hunting as well. So Aaron Judge will get back after it. Now, I suppose there are far more headlines about how he's stuck on 60 home runs. But Tuesday is exactly a week. since he hit number 60. Can he hit number 61 in Toronto? I mean, sports never stop, not this time of the year. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.